This Meghan Markle thing is not only spiking the numbers over at the Palace Intrigue podcast that I write for, it spiked the numbers over here because in yesterday's title I said late night jokes about Meghan Markle. And guess what? I'm going to do that again because they did it again. Stephen Colbert, Palace sources say the Windsors were blindsided because they thought at worst the interview would make them look out of touch. Because if there's one thing a palace surrounded by iron spikes looked like before, it was in touch. Now, remember not to make eye contact with the lady whose face is on the coins. Kimmel, Buckingham Palace released a statement on behalf of the Queen that begins, "The whole family is saddened." Kimmel clarifies that sadden is another word for bullcrap. To learn the full extent of how challenging the last few years have been for Harry and Meghan, oh, they just found out. The issues raised, particularly that of race, are concerning. While some recollections may vary, they will be addressed privately. In other words, Prince Charles is about to get a royal shoe in his butt. The statement continues, "They're taken very seriously and will be addressed by the family privately." Colbert said, "Oh, no doubt. I hear Prince Andrew has an island he goes to address his privates." Yikes, Jimmy Fallon. For those who aren't fluent in palace speak, they're basically saying, "We're sorry you feel this way." Fallon, the statement would have sounded more sincere if they didn't end it with, "So we good?" Are you hip to the whole thing with Piers Morgan? He was the host of Good Morning Britain. He was criticizing Meghan Markle. He stormed off the set in the middle of the show and then resigned. Jimmy Fallon said, "That's right. After months of criticizing Meghan Markle for making an emotional exit, Piers stormed off stage in an emotional exit." Fallon, "That's right. Piers is leaving and he has to be taken in by Tyler Perry and given full security." Great joke, Colbert. "Piers Morgan is such a baby. Someone at Buckingham Palace just asked what color he's going to be." Wow, Colbert. "Congratulations. Tomorrow is going to be a great morning, Britain." Some comments made by John Oliver in 2018 have gone viral. At the time, John Oliver was a guest on Stephen Colbert's Late Show. He talked about Meghan Markle. This is from 2018. He said, "I don't think you need to have just seen the pilot episode of The Crown to get a basic sense that she might be marrying into a family that could cause her some emotional complications. They're an emotionally stunted group of fundamentally flawed people doing a very silly pseudo job. That's what she's marrying into, so I hope she likes it. It's going to be weird for her. I would not marry into the royal family. I'm a commoner. I would not be welcomed, especially after what I just said." Let me take a minute here to plug Palace Intrigue. That is a podcast that I write for. It's all about the royal family. We're having a huge week over there. Mark Francis is your host. Normally, it's about 5 minutes about the royals. This week, the episodes have been like 10 plus. There's so much going on. Palace Intrigue, wherever you get your podcast, royal family, Meghan Markle gossip, Piers Morgan stuff. It's a lot of fun. Stephen Colbert and Trevor Noah are celebrating the anniversary of the quarantine. They are doing quarantine-themed specials to mark the one-year quarantiniversaries. That's a hard word to say, and I'm not even going to attempt it a second time. Colbert's special airs Friday. His guest, Dr. Anthony Fauci. The last truly episode of Late Show at the Ed Sullivan Theater was a year ago. On that episode, Colbert did a monologue, then interviewed Dr. Sanjay Gupta in an empty theater with only the show's staff and crew in the audience. Since then, Late Show has been produced remotely since March 16th, 2020. The show has since migrated its remote production capabilities to South Carolina. I did not know that. That's interesting. And then back to the offices of the Ed Sullivan Theater. Only 13 episodes have been live since the onset of the pandemic in the U.S. 167 of the episodes produced in the past year have been fully remote. Trevor Noah marked the anniversary with a half-hour daytime episode called The Daily Show with Trevor Noah Presents, remotely educational. It featured some of the correspondents, including Ronnie Chang, Michael Costa, and a bunch of the others. It ran at 8:30 in the morning yesterday. I would have told you about it had I known about it. Nobody told me. Come on, Comedy Central. But if you missed it, it's on Paramount Plus, one of those streaming services nobody has. I don't think you missed much. You're okay. Hey, South by Southwest announced their virtual comedy festival. South by has become one of the bigger comedy festivals every year in normal times. This year, they have invited some of the, quote, most lauded comedy venues from around the country, this from their own press release, to present live shows from their home stages, most for the first time in nearly a year. Each club has curated an impressive lineup of regulars who are excited to be back on a stage, blah, blah, blah. Representing Minneapolis, it's the Acme Comedy Club. They will have Chloe Radcliffe, Greg Coleman, Mike Early, Shannon Paul, Tommy Ryman, not exactly the biggest killers in comedy, but that's okay because Los Angeles has Beth Stelling, Billy Wayne Davis, Daniel Webb, Joel Kim Booster, Kimberly Clark, and Reggie Watts. They'll represent Dynasty Typewriter, which the press release here says has quickly become known for carefully curated, enchanting comedy experiences. Gotham Comedy Club in New York. Great club. Chris Mazzilli's the owner. He's a cool guy. You've probably seen it on TV. They'll have Aaron Jackson, Matthew Broussard, who's hilarious, Monroe Martin, Nathan McIntosh, and Ophira Eisenberg. The Hollywood Improv has Chris Porter, Donnell Rawlings, J.F. Harris, Lara Bates, Pete Lee, and Orlando Leyba. The Laughing Skull Lounge in Atlanta. It's a hub of the Atlanta comedy scene. Clayton English, Ian Aber, Kathy Hughes, Lace Larrabee, and Chinook Gadkindi. The Stand opened in New York City with the idea of creating an elevated comedy experience and soon became a favorite hangout of the city's hottest up-and-coming comedians. The Stand's lineup, pretty good. Dan Soder, right there, you're good. Derek Gaines, Emma Willman, Ian Lara, Rosebud Baker, Sam Jay, and Shane Gillis. That's the best lineup so far. Zany's in Chicago is the third oldest comedy club in the country. I've been there. Calvin Evans, Corey Bell, Emma Brown, Maddie Ryan, and Sarah Perry. The 2021 Comedy Festival will also include quarantine versions of South by Southwest comedies, the longest running shows, including Doug Loves Movies. Plus, Upright Citizens Brigade Theater co-founder Matt Besser brings the largest cast of players yet to South by for the Improv for Humans podcast. That's a fun podcast. Join them March 16th to the 20th online.sxsw.com for the complete schedule. Richard Zoglin writes for The Washington Post, a sense of unease is starting to build. On Saturday Night Live, Alec Baldwin has put away the blonde wig and orange makeup, unparked his lips, and retired his Donald Trump impressions. The first crisis of the Biden administration could be looming. America may have a president, the first in generations, who is impervious to impressionists. Oh, they've tried. SNL has cycled through a revolving door. We've talked about that. It's worth remembering that presidential impressions are a relatively new phenomenon on the American scene. Before radio, most people didn't even know what their president sounded like. Will Rogers made a couple of attempts on radio with Calvin Coolidge in 1928 and FDR in 1934, but he rushed to explain afterward that he meant no disrespect. The breakthrough came with John F. Kennedy, Von Mader, doing the first Family album I've talked about in the past. Let's not bog down that today. Great album, and what a story with Von Mader. After that, presidents were fair game. Lyndon Johnson with his Texas drawl, Richard Nixon with his hunch-scowling mane. Jerry Ford was a tough assignment, won Chevy Chase out by simply falling down. Yeah, it's not even an impression of Ford. He just said he was Ford. I love that one. George Bush, done by Dana Carvey. And Barack Obama's studied stop-and-start cadences. I don't think anybody has nailed a Barack Obama impression. There's some okay ones, and I'm told even mine is pretty good. I have a story I can't tell you, but if I met you in real life, I can bust out a Barack. Trust me. Just trust me. I can't do it. I can't tell you. Sorry. But that's why I reject this, like, Biden panic. Like, Barack's whole presidency came and went, and nobody really nailed it. Who did him on SNL, right? Fred Armisen in blackface? I mean, what are we doing here? So I think we need to calm down. Let's give everybody, it's March 11th. Let's give everybody a chance to actually find a Biden impression. They'll figure it out. It's definitely not Jim Carrey's, though, because Jim Carrey on SNL bombed. And have you ever wondered what goes through a comedian's mind when they tell a joke that doesn't work, like Jim Carrey trying to do Biden? What's going through his mind? Well, whether you're an aspiring comedian or a hardcore comedy nerd, or maybe even Jim Carrey eating it on SNL as Joe Biden, the Art of Bombing podcast is something for everyone, from useful comedy insight to entertaining stories of bombing and failure told by the comedians that lived through them. Join comedian Dan Bublitz Jr. as he sits down with comedians like this week's guest, Mark Christopher Lawrence. His credits, Dry Bar Comedy, is that Chicago, right? Christmas with the Cranks, The Detour. And they talk about Christian comedy and working at churches. Mark tells a story about a comedy competition that didn't go well in Long Beach, California. He talks to Dan about acting, having fun on stage, rushing through material, and the treatment of talent. Yeah, comedians don't get treated well. Some of the other guests have been Dusty Slay, Andy Erickson, and Alonzo Bowden, who's awesome. It's the Art of Bombing podcast. They talk about what can be learned from ugly shows on the road. The Art of Bombing podcast takes an in-depth look at bombing on stages around the world to turn failure into success. With a laugh or two along the way. New episodes every Tuesday. Like I said, the new one has Mark Christopher Lawrence talking about Christian comedy and a show in Long Beach that did not go well. New episodes every Tuesday, available wherever you get your podcasts. For more information, visit the website artofbombingpod.com. The Art of Bombing podcast sponsors today's daily comedy news. Don't forget to vote for this week's Comedy's Top Dog. This week's matchup, I have to stop saying verse. I know I do it. You know I do it. So let's just let it go. We both know I say verse and I'm supposed to say verses. This week's competition is two-time defending champion John Mulaney versus Ricky Gervais. Go to the Instagram page at Daily Comedy News. Scroll down, find the top dog drawing there. And in the comments, you can vote. The Daniel Island News, your home for comedy news, says, no surprise here. According to a recent study, Robin Williams is America's funniest comedian? Let me read that sentence again. No surprise here. According to a recent study, Robin Williams is America's funniest comedian? Yeah. Yeah. No, really. Yeah. It's not like Dave Chappelle or Bill Burr. It's Robin Williams. Yeah. The study, done by OnBuy.com, asked 120 volunteers to watch the top 20 American comedians, chosen by comedy lovers, most recent stand-up performances. So this whole thing is weird. I mean, I don't want to be a jerk, but just factually, Robin Williams passed away in 2014, so his most recent performance is at least 7 years old, no? Anyway, this seems like they decided to copy what the Brits did with one of these recently. I talked about it on a Sunday episode not too long ago. How did this work? Based on the total duration of laughter per hour in decibels, they determined who they found to be the funniest comedian. Robin Williams, 4 minutes 51 seconds of laughter per hour. Second place, Eddie Murphy, who hasn't done stand-up since the 1980s. Is American comedy dead? We have, so far, a dead guy and somebody who hasn't done comedy stand-up since the 1980s. Eddie Murphy, 4 minutes 47 seconds per hour, just 4 seconds less of laughter than number one Robin Williams. Third place, Red Fox. He passed away in 1991. Can we please do this again and have living comedians find out who's today's funniest? Fourth place, Jim Carrey, probably not doing Joe Biden, right? Here's the full list. Robin Williams, Eddie Murphy, Red Fox, Jim Carrey, Bernie Mac, Joan Rivers, Dave Chappelle. Hey, look at that. An active comedian. Bill Hicks, dead. Don Rickles, dead. Richard Pryor, dead. Kevin Hart, Stephen Wright, Louis Black, Jim Gaffigan, Chris Rock, Tig Notaro, Mitch Hedberg, Tiffany Haddish, Bill Burr, and Sebastian Maniscalco at the bottom list. 2 minutes, 3 seconds. Who did they even ask for this list? Now, if you want me to give you a list real quick off the top of my head, top American comics, Dave Chappelle, Bill Burr, John Mulaney in that order. If you want to argue, go ahead. I'm on Twitter at DCNPod. The CW has announced it's developing U.S. remakes of two British TV shows. One of them, Would I Lie to You? The other, Killer Camp. The original British Would I Lie to You featured teams of celebrity guests telling wacky stories while another team of celebrity guests tries to determine whether or not the story is true. Like a lot of British TV shows, it's really just an excuse for funny people to be funny alongside some questionably relevant framing. This from the AV Club. Killer Camp, I like this description. It's sort of like Survivor, but people get murdered instead of being voted out. Now, do they actually get murdered? Because that would be some interesting television. I'm guessing they get pretend murdered. I have not seen Killer Camp. The contestants try to figure out which one of them is the murderer rather than just trying to survive. So it's the mole with murder. Remember The Mole, hosted by CNN's Anderson Cooper? Every time I see Anderson Cooper hosting a news story, I'm like, you were the host of The Mole. Why are you now Walter Cronkite? The CW already aired some of the British version over the past summer. Did anyone see it? You didn't. This might actually exist, though, unlike Bob's Burgers, which does not exist. TMZ reported that Paul Rodriguez underwent heart surgery, but the good news is he's on the mend. A spokesperson told TMZ, Paul wants everyone to know he's grateful for all the amazing care he's received and will be back better than ever very soon. Best of luck to Paul Rodriguez. That is your comedy news for today. You can follow the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows. If you like what I do, buy me a coffee. That's buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. I don't have a coffee in the studio right now. You better buy me one, and I will see you tomorrow.